This is a replay of the Wednesday night, November 13th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together, and I promised I'd give you an update on the monkeys, so I guess we'll start with that. No, not the singing group, God knows. The South Carolina escapees, the monkeys that escaped from Monkey Island, a lab, primate lab there, and were on the loose up to 40, I think there were 40, 43 at one time, and then yesterday we had learned that 30 had been captured, and I promised I'd stay on it. Well, now 35 have been captured. 8 are still at large. So, but again, the lab has said repeatedly that these are young monkeys and they have not undergone any medical experimentation as of yet. So they're not they're not crawling around carrying God knows what. All right. So 8 on the loose, and I'll let you know about that. Now, while I was looking for that, I was looking at an update on the item I had teased, and I found out a few things. Firstly, it's not Disney. All right, so yeah, we can blame Disney for a lot of things, but not this. All right, Mattel is the company in question, and they're doing a lot of backpedaling right about now. When the story broke, horrified parents who had bought their children the Wicked dolls, Wicked being a movie at this point, an adaptation of a play, Universal, not Disney, all right, had bought these dolls between $25 and $40, basically. On the back was a helpful URL so that the kids could see more. Kids could see more than anybody expected because the URL was incorrect. Instead of saying wickedmovie.com, it said wicked.com. Kudos to you if you don't know what wicked.com is, but for those who do, it's a triple X site. And so some parents were a little bit worried, to say the least. Now, Mattel is, of course, recalled everything they could, but telling people who've already bought the dolls to discard the packaging or obscure the link. Now, firstly, as far as I'm concerned, no, that's not good enough, because a lot of people who are into collectibles, they want the packaging intact. Yeah, Mattel should resupply the packaging to anybody who bought this. However, there's the other side of it, because by tonight, you already see them, the ones that have gotten out with Wicked.com, on eBay for hundreds of dollars instead of 40. So there's always an entrepreneur in every story. So how did it happen? Well, see, this is another thing that's changed over the last couple of years. When it first came out, it was an AI error that, in fact, somebody hadn't proofed it far enough. And I'm thinking, oh, what could go wrong there? But now they're backpedaling and saying, no. It was not AI. It was not Adobe Firefly. Nothing like that. It was just human error. Yeah, so in the meantime, yes, I assume that that the Wicked movie, Wicked.com boxes are probably going to do a brisk business on eBay. It's always something. 888 876-5593-8888. Raleigh, got your request, several of them, and we'll get to that tonight. And I was asked by Carl from Riverside to listen to the Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga record. You hate me, Carl, don't you? I can probably leave it at that. Yeah, die with a smile. Well, as long as they're gone, not going to hear it on this particular show. Remember, the bumpers are mine. If your tastes coincide with mine, I'm happy to play them, but you're not going to recreate what I otherwise want to hear. So I reject more than I accept. But we've got about 11 a night, and they were all requested by you. Some good choices, too. All right, now, of course, speaking of rotten records, it is, we're in the midst of the World's Worst Hit Records annual poll. You can vote until 2 weeks from today. That's right, because 2 weeks from today is the day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a night of turkey. So, of course, we'll be playing turkeys while you'll be eating yours. It will be the top 10. Carol is tabulating, and she is just wonderful at this stuff. You know, like I say, if it were just me, I'd lose it. I'd write it on napkins, other slips of paper, and then I'd try to get them together. Well, I don't know how I worked without her, but this year I can tell you that the poll will be absolutely legit. You can, by the way, that said, you can suggest things by email. The problem is that A, I have to find it, and B, I have to send it to Carol. So I think somebody did. I saw an email. I saw one sometime. It's like that. So your best bet, if you want your vote counted for sure, is to call 888-876-5593. But here it is. Brian H. at 8:53 in the morning, Mountain Time, said, my choice for the worst hit record is Chumbawamba by Tub Thumping. A fine choice. So keep it coming. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh. Bonnie is in Butternut. So welcome back to WGN Radio. How you doing tonight, Bonnie?
I'm good, thank you. And I hope you guys are also.
Yeah.
Got a couple. Phil Harris did one, The Blob.
Oh, it's not, I don't think it's The Blob, but yes, the Thing, maybe? What was it?
The Thing? Okay, The Thing, The Thing.
I think it's The Thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
The and
Thing,
then 1950. Okay. Cher did one that was written, I think, by Sonny, and it was Bang Bang.
Oh, You Shot Me Down. All right, all right.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Fine
okay.
choices.
Those are
yes.
Those are my two.
All right.
Tonight.
Well, they're
and
they're...
then just in a...
Go ahead.
Just in addition to the conversation you had with the gentleman in Florida regarding his finances.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you take, this is just me talking. Sometimes when you take something in a lump sum, you can have do what you want with it or have a beneficiary. If you take it out monthly, sometime on your demise, it's over.
Ooh, you know, that's a good point. You need to read the fine print because it depends on the contract. If it is over, then you don't want to go that route. But sometimes you can will it. The other other thing, of course, is you can take it as an annuity, and if you wind up needing the money later, you'll lose some in the process, but you can always sell it. Somebody's there to buy it in an aggregate.
Correct.
Yeah, good advice.
So just a couple of things that we learned, not the hard way, but I have some knowledge of that.
Yeah, but, yeah, no good advice.
Right.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Bonnie.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, so nice problems to have, though. What to do with money you're going to get. Yeah, I like that. All right, 888-876-5593. Ruth and Gurney is going to give us some votes. All right, Ruth, go for it.
I'm nominating, I put a spell on you.
Screaming Jay Hawkins,
and I keep a frozen turkey to make sure that nobody can put a spell on me. That can qualify for the worst song.
Okay.
Of course, all the other things that I do to get rid of witch earrings in the freezer also. And also the Witch Doctor song.
Okay, David
Seville. I nominate
Seville.
That
all
one
right.
too.
Okay, you got
and,
it.
And then I also am just going to quickly mention I'm going to be moving to a homeless shelter in the next few weeks.
What?
Because my 5 hours a week from Assessed by Catholic Charities Round Lake, shame on them, is not enough for me to have a good circumstances. And I will do a little bit better if I go to a homeless shelter, maybe just temporarily.
Oh, my.
But I know of people who are walking, bathing themselves, and getting 20 hours a week, and I only get five.
Mm.
5 hours is not enough for me to be in a good situation daily with my upkeep, you know, with my taking care of my circumstances.
Are there any advocates you can talk to about what might be available?
I've asked the regular reliable places like the Senior Citizen Center. I've made comments. I've asked for reassessment. I've asked for rehabilitation. None of those things have worked. However, once I get back into another situation, because I've been there before and I know how reliable they are, and they are also very disability accessible, and I can find avenues of approach to get me back in the saddle again. And it was really interesting when you brought up the wicked doll. Put that in the freezer, too, because I had no knowledge that you were going to do the that, and I came up with my nominating those two songs. So
that's it for tonight. Now, Gurney is in Lake County, and I know, like in Chicago and Cook County, they have a senior services division. Does Lake County have something like that, and have you contacted them?
Well, we have the township senior citizens.
Right.
Each township has a senior citizen center, and I've been making comments about, I went to my Gurney area senior citizen just a few months ago, and they had a continuum of information, which wasn't anything that was actually just available on a computer, where nursing homes are at, you know, and addresses. And there wasn't anything really that informative. But I did apply picture-wise for my Ride for Free pass, which I had for years, and they took my picture, and twice information had to be redistributed back to them for accuracy and things like that. I still haven't gotten that for months and months.
Oh,
and that's, and 3 years I haven't gotten it. And once I get back out and I'm at the homeless shelter, I'm going to be using public transportation to get around and get to all kinds of places, medical, doctors, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I will find a better accessible avenue through the homeless shelters, because I've seen people there in wheelchairs, and they're really, really very good. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of nutritional food and just solving problems. So I'm gonna look forward to doing that to solve problems.
Yeah.
But as far as a whole Lake County, the closest you can come to that would be Lake County Health Department, and I do get a lot of garbage piled up outside my door because I don't have the caregiver enough time to get it taken.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most specific reasons why, if I am not here, I don't have the garbage piling up outside my door. I'm in another location, and things will be getting better. But sooner or later, I will get to the bottom of it.
All right.
And it'll get to be, you know, a good solution. Like, you know, taking the bull by the horns.
Right.
Well, whatever that means.
Keep me posted.
Okay, that's it for now.
All right. Keep us posted on how you're doing. Good luck, Ruth.
I will.
All right.
Well, it won't be right away, but it'll be soon.
Okay, good.
Within the next few weeks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. How tough. Yeah, and there's a number of people. That's why in some areas, some counties have really good advocacy programs and also some groups, and then in other counties, not quite as great. But navigating that in terms of all what is available, because very often there are a number of things that are available, but you're not going to be able to take advantage if you don't know they exist. All right, we're going to get to Brandon. He's a first-time caller in Warrenville. He's going to vote for us. In fact, I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now and meet Brandon. So, Brandon, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, someone left the cake out in the rain.
Oh, MacArthur Park. Yes, Richard Harris, a fine choice.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know, disc jockeys love it because it was almost 7 minutes long, and so it was great bathroom record.
Oh, just like not complaining. Like who? And now, and then they rhyme rain with again, which a lot of people do. Rain and again do not rhyme.
No, well, not in America anyway.
Yeah, and then there's other ones, but, you know, the standards, like We built this city on rock and roll. And,
okay, we'll add that.
Which isn't that, it's not a terrible song. If it was an 80s pop song, but I mean, it's from one of the greatest bands of all time, Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and then you produce that piece of poop? I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, it sells records, see? I mean, at least it puts food on the table.
I guess.
Even if it is a
turkey. All right, well, there's my two.
I'm delighted. You call me again, and thank you.
All right,
appreciate
take
it.
Care.
All right. So, yes, yeah, so there have been interviews about Jimmy Webb in terms of what was he thinking when he wrote MacArthur Park. But all I can say is that any disc jockey who says they've heard the middle of the song is lying. It was the perfect bathroom record. So, Spring, yeah, you're out of there. All right. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Bumble Boogie, 1961 on Rendezvous Records. It was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear that, and now he has. Yeah, not enough time right now. Maybe there'll never be enough time, I don't know, to tell you the story of the lyrics to MacArthur Park. It might not be what you expect if you're unaware of the story behind it. All I can say is, ungrateful wretch! All right, I'll get to that. We'll get to your votes as well coming up on WGN Radio. Better. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And we're voting on the world's worst hit records. That is not one of them, I don't think, anyway. That's Eddie Floyd, Knock on Wood, 1966 on Stax. And who was it who requested that? Because I know I played it because somebody did. And somewhere along here I have Carol's notes on that, too. Yeah, she keeps me honest on all of this, or I'd be absolutely lost. Yeah, oh, Jim in Richmond wanted Knock on Wood. All right, Jim. Yeah, I could do that. I'm not playing his Righteous Brothers request until next week, because two in 1 week I just can't tolerate, and I'm not sure Toby Keith will ever air again. But anyway, that did, and so that's good, and happy to do that. Now, before we get to Fran and her votes and Sharon and her votes, I wanted to mention the Jim Webb story. I'll forget and never tell you about it, you know. Everybody asks, you know, what the hell is MacArthur Park about? What's this about the cake and the rain and all this kind of stuff? But you got to put this in perspective. Jimmy Webb, you know, I'll call him an ingrate. And the reason I say that, at 21 years old, he swept the Grammys. This was 1967, and Up, Up, and Away, you know, Fifth Dimension, his record of the year. He gets three other Grammys, and, you know, Glenn Campbell, By the Time I Get to Phoenix. You know, he has all sorts of number one records with Wichita Lineman and Galveston, and so all this is great, but Webb just hated it because he fancied himself a young hippie who had somehow accidentally crashed mainstream Hollywood's establishment party, and what he really wanted to do was write songs that meant something. And, you know, he was, I kid you not, he was in the throes of that, for all I know, maybe still is. And so he came up with MacArthur's Park. And you might say, well, what does that mean? And how noteworthy are those lyrics? And it's funny because he was asked in interviews what it means. He says, I know, you want to know. You want to know about MacArthur's Park. Well, let me ask you, who are the knights in white satin? What is a whiter shade of pale? What is a chrome horse diplomat? You know, it was all surreal imagery. So I've come to regret writing it. He met MacArthur's song. He says, I paid my dues. And in fact, you know, here it is. He's kind of trying to write something with meaning, even if the meaning's elusive to some of us. And what happens, of course, is not only is it a huge hit, 7 minutes and 40 seconds, but he gets this offer in Vegas to play for like a godzillion dollars at the time, more than anybody else. You know, they wanted him to like do the song with a slideshow. I'm not making this out. And, you know, at the time he said, I could see it was a trap. Yeah, a trap for my own spirit, my spiritual development. And so there he was, making money hand over fist, having hit after hit, but he was a middle-of-the-road person. And, you know, he was rabidly anti-war. And he said, one of the most important songs I wrote was Sleeping in the Daytime, about pollution. And, okay, most of us would just rather hear Wichita Lineman, but that's the story. He doesn't actually attempt to explain any of MacArthur's Park. But, you know, there are those of us who feel that it's got to be the Better Living Through Chemistry plan in order to get it, but I don't know. And then he says, I'll tell you what, go ask Alice. You want to know about what the cake in the rain means? Just go ask Alice, obviously, from the Jefferson Airplane. All right, so Fran in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Go ask Alice. Okay.
I love that. But it's just so ironic that here's a guy who has the success that other people are dreaming of, and he's upset that, you know, he's not this meaningful flop.
Right. Yeah, and that is the most pretentious pile of poop I have ever heard. So I want to vote for that.
Okay. Second, yeah. That. Yeah. 7 minutes and 40 seconds. You betcha. All right. Good choice.
And as long as we're doing long songs, what is that song called? El Paso.
Oh yes, out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
There was a Steve Martin video to that years ago where he was on an elephant. And it was actually kind of funny. But yes, out in the West Texas town of El Paso. That was another bathroom record, you betcha.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it, cuz I thought, okay, bathroom records. And I agree with the we built this city on rock and roll.
Yes, okay.
Every time Gary hears it, he says, we built this city on M.O.R.
Yeah.
Let's see. And, I'll agree with Bang Bang.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a Cher song, and there's so many of them with which to choose that are horrible.
Yeah.
And while I'm at it, I might as well put "I Got You, Babe."
All right, there you go.
Let's see. And seven little girls
sitting in the back seat, kissing and hugging with Fred. Why don't one of you come up here beside me? And this is what the little girl said. All together now. One, two, three. Keep your mind on the driving. Keep your hands on the wheel. Keep your sleepy
eyes on the road ahead.
We're having fun sitting in the back seat, kissing and hugging with Fred. Yeah, Paul Evans.
They must have been very small girls, or it must have been a very large car.
Oh, I could make some jokes about this that wouldn't be politically correct. But anyway. Involving the Alamo in particular.
Too.
But anyhow, yes. All right. So, yes, Paul Evans, who, wrote a number of things. Yes, his follow-up was Happy Go Lucky Me.
I don't like that one either. Put that on there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And there's a song by Tom T. Hall, and I don't know if it's just called I Love.
Yes. I somehow I knew. As soon as you said Tom T. Hall, I said, oh, man, here comes I Love. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I Love and the rest of us didn't. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Demento played a version of it that was done by this guy with this real evil-sounding voice, like, I love little baby pups or something.
Actually, I remember that. And now I'm trying to remember who it was. Terribly politically incorrect as far as that goes. But yeah, Tom T. Hall, that was 1974. And if there's anybody who missed I Love...
I love little baby ducks. Old pickup trucks.
I gotta find the Dr. Demento version. It was much better.
Yeah, I don't know who did that either. I can't remember who did that, but oh my god, that song is icky sweet enough. No wonder I'm diabetic.
Right, exactly. That's right. Sue the SOB. Heathen Dan. That's what it was.
Oh,
I like by Heathen Dan. Now let me see if it's on here. Yes. That's what it was. I like. Yeah, and he did. He sounded demented. But so let me see what I can. And he was demented. That's what made it. That's what made it work already. Let's see. We may have it here. No, that can't be right. No. What I'm picking up can't possibly be right. All right, I'll find it. I know it's probably in the Dr. I've got a Dr. Demento folder. So
I've got one of those on my computer too.
Oh, absolutely. And you know the thing about Tom T. Hall, as bad as I Love is, I Like Beer was equally bad.
Oh yeah, that was pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was just resplendent for a while with things that we didn't like. But let's see, Heathen Dan. Yeah, I wonder what the heck happened to him. And that was like 1981 on Demento. So let's see. Come on, Heathen, you can do this. I know you're here somewhere. Yeah, somewhere, because it's absolutely worth hearing for people who don't remember it. But yes, Heathen Dan, I like. And I think there were people who literally just did songs for Dr. Demento.
I think so. Well, you know, of course, that's how Weird Al Yankovic
absolutely. Sure.
Another one, Rides the Bus. I think it was recorded in the bathroom at some studios or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a friend, Dave Burgess, who did, it was great. I wish I had a copy, but I'll have to ask him for that. A belching version of Duke of Earl. He belched the entire song. And And Demento played it. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think I have found, we'll see, I don't know.
I like noses full of snot. Dead things when they rot, belching just for fun and scum. And I like you too. I like smacking little boys, breaking all their toys, needles in my arm and harm.
Yeah, absolutely. A worthy effort all the way around.
Yeah. Yes. And I like that.
But you know, the interesting thing is, I know nothing about Heathen Dan other than that. I mean, if he ever did anything else, I don't know. But you know, maybe he did, but I have no idea.
I thought it might be the same guy that did that. Demento would have. Hey, babe, you want a boogie?
I don't think so. But yes.
But it didn't. When I heard it, it didn't sound. You know, right. In you know, when I was hearing it before you played it, when I was hearing it in my mind, I was thinking it was the same guy. But it's not. It's definitely not the same guy.
All right. So I just looked up on the Facebook Dr. Demento Show page, and it says Heathen Dan's "I Like" is the grossest song ever. All right. Well, yeah, that's something to aspire to, I guess.
John Hartford.
Oh, John Hartford?
Your man.
Yeah, John was saying it was John Hartford who did the Hey Babe thing. All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I thought, oh, no, is Heathen Dan John Hartford? No. All right, so.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so more? You got more for me?
Stand By Your Man.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Billy Sherrill and left all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh shoot! I had some other ones and I forgot them. So
that's why you'll
call back again.
Yes, and I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Jack in St. Charles. Sharon in Little Rock is up next, though. But right now, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company. Particularly that CC Radio 2E. If you're looking for something that pulls in signals better than anything else, and again, it's not a miracle, but if the signal exists over your head and your lousy radio just sort of picks it up, kind of, but not well, put it right next to the CC Radio 2E, do a comparison, and you will be amazed. It is just a terrific radio, and like all of the radios Bob Crane has designed, they're designed for terrific reception, and this fills the bill six ways to Sunday. Probably the best AM and FM clarity and selectivity that you're going to get. Now, the nice thing about it is a digital readout, but you can also fine-tune, which is great. It's got a clock, an alarm, a timer, you know, dial light, the weather band, and all that kind of stuff. But if you're just a radio lover and want something that's just going to work, this is a terrific workhorse. The 2E, like I say, gets the weather band, which makes it a good emergency radio as well with the weather alert and all that. But, man, I'll tell you, if you are just saying, man, I know that I can hear more than I'm hearing on this radio I've got. Check out that CC Radio 2E. Now go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Read all about it. In fact, a number of really great choices, but this is the one I keep by my bedside. Now, John keeps the CC Radio 3, which is a terrific radio too, but yeah, I vote for the 2E, and maybe you will too. So check it out, ccradio.com. If you can't go online, you can call them, and they've got the best customer service ever. And the nice thing about it is if you want them to send you a copy of the catalog, a hard copy, absolutely free, they'll put it in the mail same day. All right, so either way, 800-522-8863, 522-TUNE, or if you can go online, the best thing about this catalog, it's not only great products, but great information about radio and reception as well. So if you got any questions, probably find some answers at ccradio.com. Right now, free shipping on orders above $50, so hey, makes it even better. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Elijah was a wooden Indian standing by the door. He fell in love with an Indian maid over in the antique store. Elijah just stood there and never let it show, so she could never answer yes or no. He always wore his Sunday feathers and held a Tommy Hall. The maiden wore her beads and braids and hoped someday he'd talk. Elijah, too stubborn to ever show a sign, because his heart was made of knotty pine. Poor old Elijah, he never got a kiss. Poor old Elijah, he don't know what he missed. Is it any wonder that his face is red? Elijah, that poor old wooden head.
Williams record that in 1952. I think it was during his last session. It was released posthumously in 1953. And then a huge hit again a decade later, about 69 or so, with Charlie Pride's version, which was, like I say, just a huge country hit. And for a number of people, they thought it was an original. But Hank Williams, of course, did it. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Jack in St. Charles, welcome back to WGN Radio. I hope you caught Bumble Boogie.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Got another one.
All right.
You just mentioned a while ago Paul Evans about his version of Midnight Special.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, he did that. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
As far as one of the pop versions of it, there was Johnny Rivers and PCR, or a couple.
Everybody, because that song doesn't have a copyright. It's public domain. So, absolutely.
And I don't know who originally wrote it. But
neither does anybody else. If anybody tells you they know, they're lying. There's entire stories about who might have, but that's not definitive. But several people have done it, of course, Jimmy Smith in early 60s, and Paul Evans. But sure, Paul Evans did it in 57. I'll be happy to play that for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. So are you voting on the world's worst as well?
No, I think
your phone is betraying you right about now. We barely hear you.
Oh,
that's better.
I try not to get down on people on their music. But I do call in for stuff that I do like.
Okay. Well, you know, the beauty of the world's worst hit records, though, is they were all big hits. That's why I don't mind getting down on people, because they laughed all the way to the bank. I'd never do it on the world's worst flops, because some of those guys put their heart and gals put their heart and soul into those records and were really hoping. But, you know, when a guy has a million seller and we think it's wretched, I think it's fair game that we call him out on it.
Okay. The Carpenters. I never liked their stuff. I know they sold a lot of records for A&R, or A&M, and they hit the charts. But they don't do anything for me. I turn them off when they come on the air. And You Only Just Begun?
Okay.
No, I switch off on that right away.
Well, I understand that. I had a problem with it because it was originally a Crocker Bank commercial. You know, so every time I'd hear it, I'd say, what are the interest rates? Should I open a checking? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Fine choice. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Yes, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and I'm sure that that Crocker commercial, no, the Carpenters didn't do the Crocker commercial. I can't think of his name right now. Paul Williams, I think, wrote it. And I'm sure that's probably on YouTube if you want to see it. And by the way, it was the worst thing Crocker ever did, because it brought in all these young people who were young and in love and all that, who had absolutely no assets, and so none of them qualified for the loans. Yeah, it turned out to be a disastrous campaign, but it was an interesting song, which later became a big hit. Sharon is in Little Rock. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I got a good one for you. Okay. About My Ding-a-Ling.
Oh, very good. You know, this is sad to report, but it was the only number one record on the Billboard Hot 100 for Chuck Berry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's terrible. I mean, to me, this says nothing about him. That's a disgrace for Billboard. There were so many great Chuck Berry records that should have been number one, and the only one that ever was My Ding-a-Ling.
Okay.
Yeah, which was originally called Toy Bell, and Dave Bartholomew wrote it, and it came out in the 50s, early 50s.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right. I didn't know. I just heard it one time, and I go, no.
Yeah, right. That's exactly, yes. I've heard enough, thank you. Yes, exactly. Okay.
Okay, well, I have one more. Maybe the Carpenters, maybe that same song that you were talking about.
Oh, We've Only Just Begun?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Paul Williams. So you want to add that to the list?
What about the one? Yeah, and what about the one, Dean Martin? Not Dean Martin. Oh, I can't think of his name, but about King Tut.
Oh, Steve Martin, King Tut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That was an absolute hit. You're right about that. All right. So let's see. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Born in Arizona, moved to Babylona, King Tut. Okay. Yeah. You got it. All right.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much.
Call me again. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, there we go. Right. Oh, man, King Tut. So, could have won a Grammy. Buried in the jammies. All right, that's enough of that. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, yeah. Born in Arizona, lived a condo made of stone. Oh, never mind. All right, so we'll get to Gary in Austin. We'll get to Eduardo, and plenty of room for you two next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Down in New Orleans where everything's fine, all them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop,
pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night, knocking down the windows and tearing out doors, drinking half a gallon and calling for more. Drinking wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Or cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. If you want to get along, New Orleans town, buy some wine and pass it all around. Age runs up, 49. All those cats, they love sweet wine. Drinking wine, spoodyody, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spoodyody, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spoodyody, drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. Drink that slop.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James. That's the original, that's Stick McGee. And what a story there. Yeah, Jerry Wexler was fairly new at Atlantic, and he had heard about Stick McGee somewhere down in Louisiana, and he found his brother, Brownie. And Brownie said, yeah, he's down there. So they go down there, and of course, he has written, Stick had written Drinking Wine, wasn't Spodiote, with Mayo Williams, and that was in 1949. And a great song, and Wexler knew that he couldn't possibly record it the way it was. So they changed the words. That's right. It was Drinking Wine, followed by probably one of the longest curse words out there. I don't know, a lot of letters. And you can figure it out. And they picked Spodiote, which is not actually a nonsense word. It is alcohol of the gut bucket type. It's a cheap port, generic bar whiskey, and jazz musicians in New Orleans were drinking it. So Spodiote actually existed. And so it had the right syllables for what it was replacing. And likewise, Drinking Wine, yeah, Spodiote, bop, bop. Well, that, of course, you can figure that one out too, GD. But anyhow, Atlantic had to clean it up. They released it, and it was a hit. Got to number two on the R&B charts. Now, what's sad is that Stick McGee had always been Stick McGee. You look at the labels, yeah, when it was a hit, Sticks McGee. Yeah, no, just no. Well, they finally got that right. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Now, where was I with this story? And it's actually a story out of Houston. And, you know, it really makes you wonder. Three adults, they were fairly young adults, 18 to 20-year-old range, but they were in court this morning, and all three have been arrested. Now, I don't know how they were related to the child, if they were related to the child, but nonetheless, they were all at a laundromat, don't you know? And the deal is that the child was crying, acting up because he lost a bag of chips. So, now how would you calm a six-year-old? Well, you probably wouldn't pick him up, place him in a dryer, and turn it on. But that's exactly what happened. Haven Duncan and his two accomplices, a woman and a man, said, well, we got to stop this crying somehow. Well, needless to say, oh, by the way, the judge in court this morning did an absolute play-by-play of this. Yes, and he described how everybody was involved. One of the others, believe it's Lifor, helps you hold the dryer door closed, and Mr. Gil Jaggery inserts money and starts the dryer. This is while it's shown on a video. The dryer ran probably for about a minute before they took the child out, and the child was no long-term injuries, but needless to say, scared witless, and all three are the adults are now facing some jail time themselves. No dryers involved, and apparently a guardian came for the child. Where was this guardian while they were putting her kid or his kid in a dryer? Well, who knows? 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Kind of makes me want to play Laundromat by the Softones, or not. Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Or maybe you could play Leader of the Laundromat.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Always putting her down because the laundry came back brown. Yeah, I know just how they felt. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. But,
well, I got some votes, and one of them I have a little radio story to tell.
Oh, good.
I Love is the vote, and I remember hearing it one day when Bill Gardner was at KVIL.
Okay.
And this was Sunday morning, I think it was, and he had all these various sound effects for parts of the song. You know, when he said, you know, the line about, and grass, he had somebody taking a hit of a joint, and it was just so funny. I only heard him do it once, and I thought, are they going to keep him? And they did. He was there for several more months after that, but that was just so hilarious.
That's funny, and grass. I don't think I would have thought about Token. I would have had a lawnmower.
Yeah, yeah, the Token. And just on KVIL, which right. that made it even funnier.
Right, of course. Yeah, little baby ducks and old pickup trucks. I can just imagine how that sounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow-moving trains and rain.
Yeah, he had everything, you know, sound effect for just about everything out there. And then some other votes, Playground in My Mind.
Oh, Clint Holmes, yes, of course. Good choice.
Let's see. We Built This City, I'll second that one.
Yes.
And, Three Dog Night, several Three Dog Night songs. I mean, they are so, in my opinion, overrated. I don't understand when you can hear Try a Little Tenderness by Otis Redding. Why would you want to hear it by them?
Right. And I agree.
And so we'll throw Joy to the World in there. And
yes, and for people who don't realize, that, of course, is Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
Bullfrog, yeah. And I just cannot stand that song whenever I hear it.
Danny Hutton was in Three Dog Night, and, of course, he had Roses and Rainbows, which was an interesting little song beforehand. So it was an interesting group for a moment there.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And My Ding-a-Ling, that's another one that give me a headache.
Yes.
And that's it for now. But I know that I'll have more later.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Yes, indeed. Well, good choices, one and all.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah. Danny Hutton, he actually got his start on HBR, which was Hanna-Barbera Records. And I kind of Roses and Rainbows was kind of a cute little song there. And it was not a Wimpy Wright song. Many people thought it was, but they didn't look at Danny. So 888-876-5593. Soon to be Mr. Moneybags, Eduardo in Tampa. How's it going?
Hey, Raleigh. I got a little something from my financial institution. I still want to see what somebody like H&R, like we were talking about last night. But this is what the BMO guy said they can go into an IRA because I have one of the accounts at BMO is called IRA Savers. So I could put it in there. You could withdraw, but you just fill out a like some kind of tax form each time you do a withdrawal. I did that last year.
Right, and you'd have to pay the tax on it, obviously.
Right. So it's called IRA Savers, which is something I already have open. I have a checking account, mm-hmm. but I also have this IRA Savers open up. I'm not using it right now, mm-hmm. but it's still open. And then he goes, we did this by text. And he says, you get the withholding back when you file the taxes. That's what he indicated in the text.
Right. So, that would be, well,
there you go. There's one option right there.
Sure. There's a number of ways to structure it. And there's obviously benefits and you know, disadvantages to IRA, SEP IRAs, which is probably what you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously you're talking about an account that's governed by federal law. And, you know, how you feel about that, there's a lot of ways to go with that. But so, sure. But the first thing is decide whether you want it as a lump sum or whether you want it as a payout.
Yeah, I'm going to take my time. You know, as I indicated yesterday, you know, you have till March to make up your mind.
So right.
I'm going to take my time.
Where were you working that gave you this retirement?
Oh, that was the Chicago Blue Cross.
Okay. And how many years were you there? How many years were you there?
20.
Wow.
Yeah, I started in 21, 22 years.
22 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and you're having trouble finding a job now. That's so amazing to me.
Well, not exactly. I mean, I'm still attached with Publix, and I'm waiting for that hospital thing. Remember,
yeah.
From,
well, that's the thing I was hoping. That you'd be. Yeah, you'd be great for a hospital job.
I'll take it to one of the guys because I took my mother to we do these luncheons at Florida Blue. They're Florida Insurance over here on health topics. And the guy was saying, yeah, you probably won't hear from them until January because of budgetary. Even in Chicago, each time they did any, like, hires, it was always in January. They never did it in towards the end of the year. So I don't know how that could possibly go where you get somebody in November, December instead of January when you start the new year.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Yeah.
Well, good.
So, yeah.
These are nice problems to have.
Yeah. Hey, let me move on to a couple of things here if I got time here.
Yeah.
Mary Anderson, she was the inventor of windshield wipers. I saw that on Sunday.
Right.
She never profited.
Right.
Apparently, they never took her up on that. 1903.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
I didn't know that. She was.
It's interesting. She died in Monteagle in Tennessee near. University of the South, and she was a real estate developer, and she had money. I mean, believe me, she was not
a rancher. Yeah, from Alabama. Yeah,
yeah, she was not poor. She, you know, I mean, she built apartment buildings in Birmingham. So then she left Birmingham and had a vineyard in Fresno. So you know, she did invent windshield wipers. There's a PSA recently, public service announcement. For some organization, and they actually told the story of her. So we run it from time to time. Yeah, and
I wonder if she showed up at the one in Chicago, the
the World's Fair. I doubt it. It was interesting as far as that goes. It was 1903. She got a patent for it, which she called the windshield wiper. But it didn't get far. She got no manufacturing firms at the time, because this is 1903, to come up with her invention. But what had happened, she went to New York City in the winter, and she was on a trolley car, and she saw that the trolley driver had to, you know, couldn't see past the window because of the sleet, and, you know, he'd have to get out and clean it and all that kind of stuff, and needed to open the window, lean out of the vehicle and all that. And she was not an engineer of any sort, but she identified the problem and saw opportunity. So she envisioned a windshield wiper blade that a trolley driver could operate from the inside. And, you know, no one else was really, really thinking about it one way or another. Drivers accepted it. They dealt with it. You know, they leaned out the window. They cleaned it. So she goes back home. She was in Alabama at the time, and she does a sketch and writes a description and hires a designer and goes, you know, for a patent and gets it. But she did not get any manufacturers who were interested in doing it. And so the patent lasted for 17 years. See, because patents expire. And so she got this patent in 1903. And, of course, you know, it expired in 1920. And remember, 1903, the big problem was that cars were not popular. You know, the Model A wasn't even out at that time. And so, you know, she was trying to sell the invention. And everybody rejected it because they didn't see it as commercial value. And, of course, by 1913... he had a lot of cars on the road, and I think Cadillac by 1922 was standard equipment. But she never profited from any of it, and you know, patent expired in 1920. She had given up on it, and you know, bottom line is it was a great idea, and it was simply ahead of its time. So you know, there were others.
She never was married or had kids or anything like that.
You know, I have no idea. I know she was, like I say, she was living in Fresno, had a vineyard, you know, grapes, a big thing in Fresno. She went back to Birmingham to care for elder relatives, and so I do not think there were any kids. But the story went that she went back to Birmingham and she, you know, cared for like her sister and her mother or whatever, a bunch of old relatives. And apparently her aunt brought a trunk with her. And the aunt's trunk, nobody looked at it at the time, was loaded with gold and jewelry. So the aunt's trunk allowed the family to live comfortably for many years. But I never heard about kids. But there was another woman who had done a similar thing a few years later, and I think it was Charlotte something. She the electric storm windshield cleaner, and that was the first system that used rollers instead of blades. And this was another woman who made no money from it. So that was pretty much it. Now, some of the retrospectives, like relatives of hers, of Anderson's, were, you know, not direct descendants, but, you know, nieces or things like that, all claim that part of the problem was that she was an independent female and she didn't have a father, she didn't have a husband, and the world was run by men. And so when she'd go to pitch this, no one took her seriously. And that might have been part of it. That might have been part of it. But again,
I just thought about it. Yeah, because the men were kind of like the dominant.
Of course. I mean, but again, it was early. It was really early. But yeah, they had money because she died in Monteagle, and that was a summer home, and so they did all right. So
interesting story. Yeah.
You betcha. I think there's a lot of stories of people who have come up with great ideas and for a variety of reasons have never managed to get them to market.
Yeah. Yeah, another one.
What? Hello? We just lost you. Just off completely. All right, Eduardo, your phone just attacked you. Call us back. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So, and he's at home, I think. So, but the phone thought better of the conversation. Well, be that way. We'll get to Mike and Palatine, Isaac in Chicago, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm going to have to put you down. Shut. Hurt me anymore. Shooey, you hurt me like a bee, a bumblebee, an evil bumblebee. I gave you love as sweet as honey, my life, my soul, and all my money. You didn't seem to realize you had a home in paradise. Like a bee, a bumblebee, an evil bumblebee. Don't you know? one kiss before you go. Don't ever come back no more. Now, baby, there's no need of
fun. WGN Radio. I'm Roddy James. And that, of course, is Laverne Baker. 1960, rather late in her hit career as far as that goes. And there's Bumblebee. And I'm trying to think who requested that. I had that in front of me before, but... Well, anyway, whoever you are, I hope you liked it. No, that's not fair. I should find it here. Carol keeps me honest on this stuff. So that would be... Oh, Jack in St. Charles wanted Bumblebee. All right. Well, good. We talked to him earlier. And a fine song it is. All right. 888-876-5593. Isaac is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. That was fast.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to request a song, but I don't know if this lady is a hit. I guess I was calling to see if you knew anything about her. She's a jazz singer from the 40s. I think her name is pronounced Una Mae Carlisle. Carlisle's C-A-R. Oh, where I lost it. Hold on.
It's C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E, Carlisle.
Here we go. And, yes, she's an African-American lady, surprisingly.
Yep.
And she was the first, I've heard first African-American, and I've also heard first African-American lady to host her own national radio show.
How about that?
Do you know anything about her?
Well, I certainly am aware of her as far as that goes, and... There's not a whole lot of stuff on her, but from what I understand, she was not only a singer, but she was one of the, if not the first African-American woman to have songs she wrote appear on the Billboard charts. And she had,
oh, wow.
She had works done by Cab Calloway and Peggy Lee and Ella Fitzgerald and Benny Goodman. I mean, a lot of stuff. And on her own stuff, she recorded stuff with Fats Waller and Benny Carter and Lester Young. And when you look at the marquee at the Apollo, she'd often be headlining the same week as Billie Holiday. And she was worldwide, and she had ABC, I guess it was, and I don't know that it was ABC at the time, it was like NBC Blue or Red or one of those, but had a national radio show. And she was from Ohio, and I think from Zanesville. I think she went to college and graduated, actually. But she moved
to an HBCU.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. And she was, Wilberforce, she was on WHIO in Dayton, which is the big station there, and all that kind of stuff. And she was on a radio station in Cleveland, and it was Duke Ellington who got her on another station. So she did very well. And
she had a real interesting voice, kind of like maybe a little raspy. I don't know how to really define that, her singing voice.
Well... Yeah, I don't know that I'd define it, but you're right. It was, definitely hers. And she not only did secular, she did gospel stuff as well.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I think that she was in the Southern Sons, and that was on WLW, actually. So that was, a lot of watts on that. And so, she was a big deal. And
she even did some time here in Chicago. I'm just looking at her thing. It says that she headed to Chicago to try to get her name in the entertainment industry. I don't know how I stumbled across her song, Blitzkrieg Baby. Blitzkrieg Baby, Don't Bomb on Me. And I've had a love for it. I don't know, because I was in high school. Excuse me. And, anytime that I make a new YouTube account, I always go to find that song. And so I've never really listened to anything else from her, and I just saw a picture of her for the first time today, and I thought she was an Asian lady, no offense to her family, but I was really
surprised. She had Indian blood. She had, I think, Cherokee. She had some Cherokee blood in her.
All right, very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my main thing for calling in. It's crazy. You know a little bit about everything.
Yeah, well, again, if you look at the history of WLW, she was on there till about 33. But when they did their 50th anniversary, remember they put out a thing and she was included in it and all that. So there's fascinating people at the time, you know, the Josephine Baker era and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, Fats Waller, I don't need to say, but let me...
His grandson is a football player. He just retired.
Really?
Yes, his grandson is Daryl, I can't think of his name. His son just retired at 30. I think he's 36. He retired. I'm gonna try to look up his name really quickly.
Wow, well, good for him.
Daryl.
Yeah. So Una May.
Yeah, his son's name is Daryl Waller. Okay. He retired from the New York Giants. He's 6'6", 238 pounds, a tight end.
Yeah. So Una May died young. She was only about 41. So that's one of the reasons why you don't hear that much of her, because I think she was born like 1915 or so.
Raleigh, yeah. I was on YouTube today, and you mentioned that she died young, and there was a comment that brought up, oh, she died young of drug use. And someone else underneath said, no, she didn't die young of drug use. She died young of some disease with the ear, some sort of ear thing.
I thought it was pneumonia, because I always heard that it was complications, just like Fats Waller, same thing, complications of pneumonia.
Why is it that, just like rappers today, if you're a rapper, you're related to gang ties. Back in the jazz era, if they were jazz singers, you would be surprised in my little research of Pearl Bailey how often I hear, and she was strung out on drugs, and she was strung. I have yet to find any credible sources to say that, you know, why is it that they always do this about these jazz singers?
Well, not only jazz, you know, just musicians in general, you know, always had that, you know, that sort of, I don't know really what the word is about it, but, you know, they were all on reefer and everything else. I mean, you know, you always heard about that. But sadly, there is a number of people clearly who were involved with drugs, and you know, not that many of them had the luck of Etta James, who actually did very well considering that. But Pearl Bailey's brother was arrested on heroin charges.
I know. So, I was on the Chicago Public Library archive, and I saw all throughout Ebony and Jet how they followed him throughout the court. He said that it wasn't his reefer, it was his wife's. And he was holding it for her.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, buddy.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, who knows? But no, like you, I don't know of hearing about her affected by drug use.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. So, you know, people want to rewrite history, but I don't see any real evidence of that. But sure, musicians at the time were all, you know, reefer madness, all considered to be strung out on something.
Yes, yeah. All right, Raleigh, it was great talking to you.
Likewise, thanks for calling. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, what is Mike in Palatine up to? Welcome back to WGN Radio, Mike.
Yes, I have some songs for you for your Thanksgiving Day special.
Excellent.
If you don't mind.
What you got?
Yeah, is seven songs too many? Or?
No, there's no limit.
Okay, well, first one's Life is a Rock by, I believe, Reunion.
Yes, but the radio rolled me. B.B. Bumble and the Stingers, Martha Hoople, Ray Charles Singers. Yes, all right.
All yeah, right. And Johnny Horton's Sink the Bismarck.
Okay.
And One Piece at a Time, Johnny Cash's Famous Car.
Okay.
And Billy, Don't Be a Hero. I think you know that
yes,
one.
Yes, Bo Donaldson, the Haywood, of course.
Yeah, and Midnight at the Oasis, I don't know the...
Maria Muldaur.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
Next one is In Your Letter by REO Speedwagon.
Oh, okay.
And this is a two-bit song by the Kings from Canada. It's The Beat Goes On and Switching to Glide. I don't know if you count it as two songs or one song. So
I don't know. You know, look up to see where that charted nationally.
Okay.
We'll try and find out.
And... It's the Kings, K-I-N-G-S,
yeah,
by
right.
The Canadians.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it for now.
All right.
I appreciate you get a good, great program tonight.
Oh, well, thanks. Appreciate it. And if you think of more, you call me back.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye.
Thanks. All right, so yes, and especially, you know, if you hear something that somebody else has mentioned, you're saying, oh man, that makes me vomit. Well, by all means, call in and second it, because it is a cumulative total. Karen in Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Did you say Karen?
I did.
In Madison.
Yes, that's you.
Okay, that's me. Okay, well, my list kind of is some that I said last year, but that's okay. Well, Joy to the World.
Okay.
Norman.
Okay.
10 million times over.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't stand it.
So much and for Sue Thompson. All
right. Knock three times on the ceiling.
Okay, Tony Orlando. Dawn, yes, knock three times.
Right.
Okay.
And then the apples, peaches, pumpkin pie.
Oh, Jay and the Techniques. All right.
I didn't like that.
Oh, I love Jay and the Techniques.
And now we're starting to come up on the anniversary of Otis Redding that fell in the lake here in Lake Nona in Madison.
Right.
So that's, I just wanted to remind, you know, when it gets that time of year, I heard the sirens and Lake, I heard that, so I just wanted to put that out there. But I'll just tell you one other thing. Your Dateline that you're watching, if you turn on the news on WBZ, they're going crazy out there. They've got that trial with Karen Reed pushed back past January, and then they got Whitey Bulger's lawyer involved now. I don't pay much attention, but it's going on and on and on. So have a good time.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just, now, I know that there was a stuff going on, but she's, trying to delay the second trial. So,
Oh, man. It just goes on and on.
Yep.
But because I don't live there anymore, I just, you know, I've been in so many big trials out there, I just catch some of it. You know, but I thought I'd just tell you.
Good to know. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that figures. I invested all that time watching that darn TV show, and then I didn't know how it turned out. It's like, don't do that to me. But apparently Dateline is famous for that. I want answers.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd remind you so you wouldn't wait too long for your answer.
Good deal.
Just take a break.
Good deal. So appreciate that.
I hope you feel better.
Thanks.
You all feel good. And
all right, you too.
All of you out there.
Thanks for calling, Karen. Okay, bye.
That's it. Okay,
good
thank
deal.
You. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so I watched like a two-hour special on Karen Reed. I was sure I'm going to find out. And then continued. Yes. And now the trial's delayed. Well, yeah. It's just like the few times that I'll sit there with John and watch a TV show, which isn't often, and this is one of the reasons it isn't often. We'll get to the end of it, and like part two is coming up in a week. No, just no. Anyway, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we will get to Laura in Willowbrook and Debbie in Raleigh and Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, and James with his 4,832 stories on WGN Radio.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple task. Where all good people go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow strong. As I live from day to day. I searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to find peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather in the chapel.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Orioles, yeah, way back when, and that's 1953 on Jubilee, and it was James on the South Side, who we'd be hearing from later, who requested that. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, and Laura in Willowbrook, what you got for me?
Hey, Raleigh, I got two songs that I thought of.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, the first one, oh, my God, I don't know what people were thinking, the people that liked this song, but every time I'd hear it, it almost just turned my stomach. Puppy Love by Donny Osmond. It's like, oh, how sickening sweet it was. I just can't stand it.
Yeah, bad enough the first time by Paul Anka, but why bring it back? Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, they called it Puppy Love just because she was a dog. End of story. All right, so there you have it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
And I got one more.
Okay.
I liked it at first, but then, you know, there's lots of songs out there that you hear so many times you can't stand it anymore.
Yep.
So I used to like Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus, and then I'd go to country line dancing. They kept playing it and playing it and playing it. Like, oh, I can't stand this. So that's my other hit record I can't stand.
You know, I think you're the first vote this year for that, and usually it does very, very well. I think a lot of people are burned out on it. I never was exposed to it enough to be burned out on it, so I don't really mind it. But I can certainly see if you've heard it for the 482nd time that week that it would get tiring.
Yes, ma'am, it sure does.
All right.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. Hopefully somebody else will vote for those and others.
Yeah, sounds good to me. All right, so 888-876-5593. And Debbie and Raleigh's got more votes, so tell me about it.
Okay, Yummy, Yummy, Yummy.
Okay, 1910 Fruit Drum Company.
And Sugar, Sugar.
Okay, the Archies.
Teddy Bear.
Was that Red Sovine?
And Ebony Eyes.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Will those waiting for Flight 1203 report to the chapel across the street? Yeah, that's subtle. Yeah.
Sad movies.
Ah, yes, Sue Thompson always makes me cry.
Oh, I want to run. But there's another theme, Western Union, and had two or three versions.
The Five Americans?
Yeah, and the other one, good grief. Western Union something.
Oh, yeah, that's Jerry Butler, Western Union Man, yes.
Yeah, and I liked the songs, but I didn't like the title, Western Union, because it brought back memories of when my parents asked me to wire the money.
Oh, sure. I don't know.
When they went on a trip, you know, and we'd ask them how they did or how they liked the trip, or if they won any money, because they would always go to Atlantic City or whatever, and they'd say, we had a good time.
Yeah, right, yeah. They'd send telegrams, Western Union, man. Yes, yeah, send a telegram. All right, yes.
Yeah, that's probably one, too. That's pretty much it for now, but I like a lot of the requests that people have submitted, so I won't run through all those. But
Well, by all means, things that you hated, you want to second them because that's how they get up the chart.
Oh, I got you. Well, I'll have to go back and listen to your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
my poor,
right, that's how we get a top 10. Yeah, the only way to get a top 10 is with multiple votes.
I got you.
All right.
I'll do that.
Good deal.
And good luck to everybody that's looking for somewhere to live and all the things that are going on in people's lives, you know.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I'm
with you.
Kind of almost in that state, but I'm not going to go there.
Let's not.
No, let's not.
Yeah, hang in there.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
So, John was telling me that Elon Musk has a project where he's going to be building houses for $10,000. Obviously, small houses, and I assume that they're prefab, but regardless, I think you get 600 square feet. Man, that'll be a godsend if that's for real. I haven't heard much about it, but sounds like Sounds like a heck of an idea, because there's far too many people who literally cannot afford a place to live. And that's a topic for another show. God knows it's not for this one. So let's see. We got a couple minutes left. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. What's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. How's it going?
All right. How about yourself, Chris? What's happening?
Nothing much. Just taking it easy, getting ready for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was Veterans Day. Yeah, a couple of my friends, we ate out at Chili's. I can tell you a little bit of this story.
Good. Well, Chili's is always good.
Oh, yeah. In Greenwood.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was me and a couple of friends, David, Rorley, and Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
And Peggy, they are very fun to be with. And while we was eating, I happened to look over at the bar to see my old teacher from the Sunshine House, which is the daycare here in Greenwood,
uh-huh.
Miss Valencia Tiller. She's a teacher now at District 50.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all in Greenwood know. And I happened to look over there. She looked at me, and I got up from my table, went over there to speak and said, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah.
And did one of my quick glances at my table. I said, "Saw Roy Lean," and she looked at me, and I thought I was seeing Jessica Alba on Camp Nowhere from that movie from 1994 with Christopher Lloyd on there.
Oh, man. Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Mustang. Put your big feet on the ground. All you wanna do is ride around, baby. Just
ride, Sally, ride.
All you wanna do is ride around, baby. Just
ride, Sally, ride.
All you
Raleigh James. That's the original Mustang Sally, and that's the guy who wrote it, Sir Mac Rice, who would have turned 91 years old over the weekend. Sadly died in about 2016, I think, had Alzheimer's, was in early 80s. But he not only wrote Mustang Sally, also wrote Respect Yourself, Staple Singers, and many more. And originally from Mississippi, but went to Detroit as a child and was there. And one of the few acts who was on both Motown and on Stax, and a number of other things too, including from 57 to 63, but the Falcons. We played some Eddie Floyd earlier, speaking of the Falcons, but also Wilson Pickett, Joe Stubbs. So rest in peace, Sir Mac Rice, and thanks for Mustang Sally, which was 1965 for him, and there was something about it I was going to say. Now, I don't remember what. Well, for one thing, it was interesting because Mercury had decided that they were going to do an R&B label for about a minute and a half, and so they came up with Blue Rock, and that's what the original Mustang Sally was on. All right, 888-876-5593. You're talking to Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. Yes, the great Chili's experience. So good. Glad that was fun. What else is going on?
Yeah, but I'm going to finish off because I happened to see my friend from afar at my table.
Uh-huh.
Arlene, and she looked like, like that. You know that movie Camp Nowhere, right?
No, you know me. I know nothing about movies. I'm just movie illiterate.
You look like one of them teenagers.
Okay. Yeah.
down on one, she screamed, "Daddy!"
Okay. Yeah, I got to take your word for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you remember we talked about the War of the Worlds, right?
Oh, yes, we have.
Yeah, you found any stations that aired it?
You know, in terms of the original War of the Worlds, a number of stations did, but I didn't look up for individuals callers. I was going to do that, wasn't I? So let me write that down so I will actually do that. Of course, over the years, a number of stations did wonderful recreations. We often talk to Mark from Aurora, who loves the ones that WKBW did back early in, I guess, 73 was one of them, and I think 69, 68 was the other one. But who were the original station? I'll try to find out. And this time I'll really look for it.
Yeah, and I got a question. You remember the Motorola television hour because Atomic Attack wasn't a standalone show, right?
Okay, now, let's see. The Motorola television what?
Hour. It was on ABC from 53 to 54.
Okay.
I was wondering if the ABC affiliate WLS in Chicago aired Atomic Attack, that episode.
Oh, that's going to be hard to know. Man, that would be hard to know. So, let's see. And yes, I know that was television, not radio, though, right? The Motorola.
Yeah, it was in 54,
yeah, supposedly.
And, you know, they're under the table, like the Mercury Theater,
sure.
The Motorola Television
sure.
Tower.
Right,
under the
right.
Table, those
right.
Titles.
Yeah, there's a DVD of that is out. If you're interested, I mean, you know, you can get it. And it was, you know, a suburban family surviving after the nuclear bomb, obviously. And did you know it was produced in conjunction with the Office of Civil Defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting.
I'm surprised they didn't show the Civil Defense symbol at the very end. Mm.
And Walter Matthau was in it, and Robert Keith.
Yeah,
so,
because, you know, that film there, Atomic Attack, it was never seen on TV in decades.
That's interesting. Like I say, it's out on DVD now, so obviously, you know, cleared the rights to do it that way. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm surprised WGN didn't air it. WGN Channel 9 didn't air it throughout the years.
Yeah.
As a syndicator.
Well, you know, again, when we're talking television, much like movies, I'm fairly ignorant.
Yep.
But I do know those are all available. You know, those are all available on all those, you know, Motorola TV Hour, all available as far as that goes. But yeah, trying to find out which stations took War of the Worlds. Well, I'll keep looking.
Yeah, I heard WBT out of Charlotte aired it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because they were CBS. And WAIM out of Anderson, they were CBS as well.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess the easiest thing for me to do is try and find out which stations took Mercury Theater, because, you know, it was one of the shows of Mercury Theater, so that might be easier to find out than an individual broadcast. So, and obviously, most of the CBS radio affiliates probably took it.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe like on the old newspapers, you can find it on there.
Yeah.
If radio stations air the Mercury Theater around that date.
Yeah, well, you probably won't. I don't know that you'll get that date exactly, but if I go for Mercury Theater, I should be able to come up with some kind of an affiliate list.
Yeah, and in 1954, like if you see the television, just look up Motorola Television Hour or TV Hour on the listings.
Well, that would probably be easier to find, but you could do that yourself.
Uh-huh. And I know my ABC affiliate, WLOS, out of Asheville, signed on that same year Atomic Attack came out, but it was in September.
Yeah, May 18th, 1954 was the original. So, yeah. All right.
But it wasn't but R.A.B. still filled inside on until September of 1954, Channel 13.
Yep, so you missed that one.
Yeah, but if they signed on like earlier, they would have had it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
one of the first programs that the LOS was a private attack.
Yeah, yep, they'd have been happy for the programming, I'm sure. All right. Well, I will look for it. Yeah. I will see what I can find out.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks for calling.
I love you, Roy Wayne. I'm sorry I called you just to Alba.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. All right. Yeah, Motorola Television Hour, well, not very long, like a year or so, but one of the shows was Rod Serling. I know he did, and James Thurber was one. So there were some interesting things on that. But we'll try to find out about Atomic Attack. All right. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Yeah, when it comes to radio or, you know, music that I like anyway, I know a lot about that. When it comes to television or, you know, or God forbid, movies, Clueless. Yeah, I'm just not good at that. Pam, a first-time caller in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Good morning, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm enjoying your show, and I want to say hi to everybody in your listening audience. And I have one turkey.
Okay, what is it?
Let's see. It's called, I think, I'm a Lonely Frog.
Oh, Ain't Got No Home. Clarence Frogman
Ain't
Henry.
Ain't Got No Home. Yeah, that's it.
Clarence Frogman Henry. Okay.
Yes, okay. That's it.
All right.
That's all I have, Raleigh.
Well, if you think of more, call me back, and thanks for the call. Good to meet you.
You betcha.
All right.
Bye.
Good deal. Yeah. Ain't Got No Home. All right, 888-876-5593. Too many people singing that these days for real. Jim in Richmond's got an update. He went to the doctor today. Two of them, in fact. And what did you find out?
First off, I wanted to tell you that when I was married, my wife said, when I asked her if she had a clean uniform shirt for me to go to work, she said, no, because I have three sons and I'm doing laundry all day. And then she said, go do your own laundry.
Ooh.
And from that point, I had to do my own laundry.
Ooh.
So I found a laundromat that was open very late at night in Wilmette.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in the laundromat in Wilmette, and a whole bunch of students come in and grab one of the guys,
mm-hmm.
and the dryers were like 30, 36 inches
yep.
apart. There was a large dryer,
sure.
and they shoved the guy in the dryer,
mm-hmm.
and they put him in there, and they ran it for like 2-3 minutes,
right.
and they came, you know, let him out. And then what the hell's going on? Well, it's an initiation.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the five-year-old, and I'm very sad that the five-year-old had to go through that.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to tell you about that.
Yeah.
And then about the appointments,
yes.
I wanted to tell you about, I went to the first appointment,
uh-huh.
and we're in and out in not even 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then the second appointment, I was there for an hour and a half, and I was very upset. But it was very nice to talk to the people who were waiting also.
Okay.
And I was impressed. I met a 100-year-old woman
wow.
who was in there to get shots in her eye, just like me.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting there for like 15 minutes and talking back and forth. And it was wonderful. And she was telling me that she had two husbands,
mm-hmm.
and her second husband was a 4-star general in the Army.
Mm-mm.
And then we were talking about living through the Depression, and she skipped right over that, and she said that her father was a butcher during World War II
oh.
and was, you know, writing things down and sneaking sugar, you know, and all the stuff that was rationed
mm-hmm.
to the people and trying to help them out. And I thought it was wonderful to be able to, talk to these people.
Yes.
And then there was another couple that came in, and they were both 91 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, you know, how are you doing? And they both had walkers. And I said, jokingly, I said, do you enjoy roller skating? And she goes, what? And I said, you know, you're a walker. And she laughed. And we found out that her husband, who had a stroke, brain surgery, and he's almost blind and stuff like that. And we talked back and forth. And it's just, you know, wonderful.
Yeah, camaraderie. Sure it is. Absolutely.
Right.
That is good.
And to hear other people's problems.
Sure.
And my first appointment was the glaucoma specialist, and I found out my pressures were in my good eye 8 and in my bad eye 14.
That's good.
And he was over the moon.
8 is unbelievable. And I don't know that I've known anybody who was able to do that. 8 is amazing.
And he gave me this.
And 14's great. Anything under 20's happy time.
Right. So he gave me it last month, because I was there a month ago. He gave me this one drop, and I don't remember the name of it. And I ran out of it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I asked if, you know, I could get it again. And then I said I was out of the Latanoprost, and the pharmacist won't approve it until next week. Okay. And he goes, here, take Rocklantan. And I've taken it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we did this before. We did Drizolamide and Rocklantan, and we didn't have the same results. And he goes, yes, you will. And I said, you know, I'd rather have the other one, because he was given to me for free.
Right.
And he goes, no, we'll go with this, and we'll see you in 3 months.
Okay.
So we were in and out of there in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So my next appointment, first appointment was at 10. The next appointment was 40, you know, like 35 minutes away at the next guy. We got there at 11:30, and my appointment was at 12.
Okay.
I did not see the doctor to 12:45.
Okay.
I was sitting there all that time, and the doctor comes in, and then he goes to me. They took pictures without dilation, because they usually dilate and take pictures, because they were rushing people through.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, okay, you know, it's swollen again. And, we're going to give you Kenalog again.
Mm.
And he goes, I can't believe the Aaliyah didn't work. And I've tried to tell him that in the past, Aaliyah doesn't work, you know.
Right.
So then he goes, well, you know, I think next month we're going to give you Aaliyah HD. And I've seen the commercials and everything, and I asked him like 5 months ago, is Aaliyah HD safe? And he wouldn't answer that question. So, you know, so then he said, oh, you know, that's what we're going to do next month. And I go back on December 11th. And frustrated. And I told him the funny thing is Humana sent me a letter last week and says I'm approved until the end of next year for Vabysmo. And he goes, yeah, the Vabysmo didn't work, you know. So now they have to find out if Aaliyah HD is going to work.
Now, have you had cataracts in the past?
Oh, yes, I've had cataracts.
Okay. All right.
I've had diabetic retinopathy.
Yeah, that I know.
I've
had five laser
surgeries each eye.
Right. You had the cataracts removed, though, right?
Yes, I had that.
Okay. The reason I ask is
2000.
Okay. That's one of the common side effects of Aaliyah HD. That's why I asked you. Another one is increased pressure, which concerns me a little.
Right. So that's what concerns glaucoma specialist.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't know that he's going to try that, you know.
Right, definitely want him to know that.
And then
the possibility of vitreous detachment, things like that, those are, you know, not common, but it does happen. So you're up to date on what that does. So.
Right, and I'm going to call the glaucoma specialist.
Yeah,
on December 11th, if I do get that shot.
Right.
And because my next appointment with him, he says, oh, you're doing so well. come back in 3 months.
Yeah,
and
well.
That's February, right. You know. So.
Right.
And I just, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm looking into everything, you know, and.
So now what's up? When are you meeting with Kim?
With Kim, I don't know yet because my brother's wife, you know, is doing a little better because the nurse that takes care of the big open wound on her leg says it's all healed.
Good.
So, but the thing is she can't go to the bathroom on her own. She needs help.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he tells me yesterday, I mean, you know, today, he tells me, you know what? Her hospitalization has cost $250,000.
Oh,
and he
God.
Goes, when I fell and broke all my ribs and was hospitalized and all that, it was only $5,000, you know.
Well.
And he goes, I can't, believe the difference. So he's going to work it out with her if he can go. And we're trying to meet up on Saturday.
Good.
But he says he doesn't know if he can do it.
I hope he can.
He needs somebody to stay with her.
Right,
while
of course.
He's gone.
I understand. No, I do, but I really hope you can get that together.
Right, and he panics if there's nobody there to help her.
Sure.
You know?
I understand.
So
all right.
And
well,
so that's what's going on with that.
All right.
And I thank you for playing that one song.
Absolutely.
But I think from now on, I'm not going to request
I know.
Any
yeah,
songs.
Well, you know how that is. Our musical tastes are very different, but every now and then I'll play something
right.
for you. All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
But that song from Toby Keith.
No, right. I just can't. Not this week. Of course, tomorrow I only have a half-hour show anyway. But the news is coming up, so I will talk to you soon. Thank you. All right. So can't blow the news. Got to do that on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Jim Gilstrap, big beach singer, also did a lot of jingle work in Los Angeles, turned 78 over the weekend, still with us, born in Texas, and of course, Kenny Nolan wrote Swing Your Daddy in 1975, and it became a beach music classic. Got to number 10 on the Black Singles chart, number 4 in the UK. He also sang the theme song for Good Times with Sandra Blinky Williams. So, yes, happy birthday to Jim Gilstrap. Glad he's still with us. All right, 888-876-5593. I love Kenny Nolan stuff. I know maybe that's my guilty pleasure for Wimpy White stuff, but I absolutely do. All right, Johnny D's got some votes. How's it going, Johnny D? Are you with us, Johnny D? Johnny D, going once, going twice. Thanks for calling, though. Much appreciated. All right. He'll call back, I hope. Chuck in Rockford, welcome back to WGN. How's it going, Chuck?
Okay. You know, I had somebody come to mind that, have you ever heard of Peace Pilgrim?
Yeah. Walked.
Well.
A guy who walked.
Yeah, you know, she, I heard an interview with her, but I guess it was back in the 60s, and was Joe Pine on radio?
Oh, yeah, of course. Joe Pine was on the air in Chester, Pennsylvania, WPWA, I think, Chester. Yes, he was absolutely, Joe Pine was absolutely on the radio.
Okay, well, I'd heard him do an interview with her uh-huh. in the 60s, you know, and it was just amazing that she gave away all of her possessions. She started out, I think it was in right around 1953
uh-huh.
or whatever, and she gave all of her possessions away. And but she was here in Rockford, you know, at the Unitarian Church.
Uh-huh.
Of course, at the time I didn't know about it until afterwards, and otherwise I would have probably went over there to meet her. But really interesting. I did look her up on Wikipedia, you know, just as a reminder. But
sure,
you know, she walked over 25,000 miles, and somebody was taking her to start on a trip, and they had a car accident, and she died in that. But I was surprised that she was born in New Jersey, and she's got a park there named after her and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I think she died in like 1981 or so. And,
yeah, 81.
Right, right.
I just refreshed my mind on all that stuff. But she had something in common with a second cousin. His mother was concerned about him, you know, skydiving and thinking, you know, that he might meet his end there, you know, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he died in a car accident on the way home from skydiving.
Unfortunately, that's too often the case. You're much more likely to die on the way to the airport than in the plane, unfortunately.
Yes, I kind of makes me do a double take, you know, on going out and getting in some of this bad traffic. Because you can get T-boned, you know, just going down the road, somebody running a stop sign.
Oh, sure. I always think, you know, if there's any reason to believe that we have guardian angels looking out for us, the fact that we don't all die in fiery car wrecks is probably a good example of that, because you look at the way people drive. You know, years ago, I'd see people who were particularly dumb, and I'd say, "Dear Lord, don't let them vote." But I've moved on from that now. It's like, "Dear Lord, don't let them drive." The things you see.
Well, you know, this... I hate to bring it up, but, you know, legalizing marijuana was kind of stupid, I think, in a lot of ways. But there's stuff out there, and I have a hard time explaining to myself how a guy can be going down the road and then all at once swerve into somebody and do a head-on collision.
Well, you know, one of the things with today's cars, and I guess we found this about 12 years ago, John and I were in North Carolina. We rented a car, and I was stunned because I absolutely felt no road vibration, heard no road noise, and I thought, man, you could be velocitized in this in seconds where you're doing 90 miles an hour and think you're doing 30. So I'm not surprised. But, you know, the only thing that I am surprised is that there's just not carnage on the roads. You know, it's amazing how well we do as mortals behind the wheel as far as that goes. But, what's his name? Can't think of it right now. Joe Pine. He was big in Wilmington after he was in Chester. He grew up in Chester. But he was on WILM for years and worked at a few other stations. But then he was in suburban Chicago. He was on WLIP. In Kenosha, And he wasn't there that long. I think he rested about 6 months before they fired him, which was usually the way.
Oh yeah, usually that's when somebody's controversial.
Yeah.
But
well, he was controversial off the air too. People did not necessarily get along with him. They didn't like working with him, and so I think Bill Lipman had his fill of it fairly early. And yes, I think that Lipman expected it to be a community oriented station, and he'd be playing the hits and interviewing the local business people. And meanwhile, he's it's your nickel, and all that stuff. So
I used to spend a half an hour to an hour on the road, around midnight, and the talk shows were always, good entertainment. But I think most of the time I listened to KXEL,
Waterloo, sure. Yeah, when Pine was on ILM after LIP fired him, he went back home and was there. When he did It's Your Nickel, it was a combination of that's when the stand-up comics were first using a lot of sarcasm and current events and all that. So he thought, I could do that on the radio. And it's your nickel, of course. It costs 5 cents to make a payphone call. So he was tremendously abrasive. But my favorite Joe Pine story is, and it's just so perfect, because Frank Zappa was so brilliant. And Pine had said to him, with your long hair, are you a girl? And he said, with your wooden leg, are you a table? And that was the best line ever.
Yeah. I think I may have heard that one before.
No, that's exactly it. And another time he asked Zappa some very personal questions, and Zappa said, "Well, let me put it to you this way: do you take off your leg when you make love to your wife?" But he was, I thought Pine was great. As far as that goes, so
he must have been pretty entertaining, and I can remember that interview just as clear as if it
was today. Right, and what it was, he'd gotten a job in Riverside, California. And that was like the best thing that ever happened to him. I don't even remember the call letters, and it doesn't matter. But KTLA heard him and put him on TV in Los Angeles. And so, that was a big deal. And, within a year, he was off that, and he was back on a Philadelphia television station no one remembers, and then back on radio, and then back to L.A., and, KLAC. When KLAC went talk against KABC, they had some interesting people, and they needed something because KABC was like the big gun as far as talk radio. And so they put him on at night. And, I remember listening to this because he would like be interviewing Nazis. I mean, card carrying Nazis, just of course. And he'd be doing it because he knew that, the American Jewish Committee was going to go crazy. So he was doing this purposely, but he was making quite a bit of money. But so in 66, NBC Radio Network thought, we ought to syndicate him. Now, to me, I'd be like, are you out of your mind? But he was on about 200 stations for a minute and a half. And
That might have been when I listened to him.
Okay,
then.
Yeah, it was NBC. He was on a bunch of those. Right, exactly. And they were really going after that shock level. You may disagree with them, but you won't turn them off. That kind of stuff. And they moved him to middays to Housewife Time. And even that, he did well. And then he showed up on Channel 11. KTLA was Channel 5. Then he went to KTTV later at Channel 11. And that was the deal. And he would bring like black militants on the show, and he'd keep a gun in a drawer. And it's just needless to say, it was shock radio of every level. And he had Charles Manson on. And other.
Oh, he did?
Yes, long before the incident, of course. But yes.
I had heard, I think it might have been Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story.
Yeah.
That that Charles Manson was in Boys Town, and he was the only kid that they couldn't make behave.
Oh, man. I wouldn't be surprised. But, yeah, he had Helen Gurley Brown on, you know, the publisher of Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you knew that that was going to be a big deal. And,
I think I have heard an interview with her, too.
Yeah, right, right. That women should exercise by dancing naked, things, you know. And then, of course, you know, I always say get on the beef box. Well, that's where I got it. You know, he had the beef box. So that's the deal. So, yes.
I think you probably, your audience ought to know that I did meet you in Rockford.
3901 Brendan Wood.
Yes.
I remember it well. At ROK. Yeah. And, you know, I loved being at ROK. It was really great. The only disappointment was, you know, their signal was 1440. So that, of course, is the second harmonic to WGN at 720. I could be in their parking lot at night looking at those towers and hear GN under them. So I was very glad I wasn't doing nights. Hold on a minute. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. We're going to leave it right there without a bumper because we don't have a lot of time left. I want to talk to Chuck for a while longer, get to James on the south side. So in some ways you could say that all of the shock that followed on TV shows or radio shows, Pine was really the first in any big way to do that.
Yeah, well, my time with radio is started out with a crystal set, so
yeah.
I've been listening to this stuff.
Oh,
for
sure,
a long time.
Sure. But you know, there wasn't really anything quite like Pine before Pine.
Oh no.
And
I think that's what got me hooked.
Yeah.
You know?
I just love the beef box though. The people who would get up there, and I know some of them were obviously plants. The one Izzy Wiffletree was always on, and I'm sure it wasn't the guy's real name, but he was out there, you know, just shouting at Joe, and Joe was having time of his life shouting back. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Is any of that stuff archived?
You know, I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll bet you some of the radio stuff is. Not much, but as far as TV, probably not. And the reason I say that is, you know, Joe was dead by 1970, lung cancer, and you'd know that if you watched the show. He was smoking all the time. Anyway, you know, we're still talking an era where, of course, by 55, you've got videotape, but 2-inch videotape, no one could afford to keep that. You just erase it because you couldn't, you know, keep the reels. And before that, Kinney. So I don't know how much television there might be, but I bet there's some radio, and I'm going to go look for it.
Oh, see if you could find Huey Long.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I haven't heard him. He used to They used to replay him every election season. You know, of course, they assassinated him in 35, so that's been...
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Huey Long, share our wealth. I bet you some of that is still on. I'll look for that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. God set a smorgasbord, and then he mentioned all of the big time people, you know, that were I don't know what you call them, you know, but like the billionaires, you know.
Other than FDR, UEP Long was the first guy who really used radio a lot. And, of course, you know, you can't be anywhere in Louisiana and not have a UEP Long story. So I'll look for that stuff, too.
Yeah, I have a vivid memory of some of his archive stuff. You know, I was born the year that he got snuffed out. So,
oh, geez. All right. Well, good to talk to you, and I will look for some stuff, and maybe we'll get some Joe Pine, if not some UEP Long.
Well,
on
you
the
know,
air.
I was going to get in early on your show, and I woke up about after midnight. So.
Well, that's all right. You got in there, and we talked for a while, and I'm glad. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm sober, too. So.
That helps.
I
do appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Yes. You'd be surprised at the number of people we know aren't. All right. Maybe it's something about me that right? You got to be loaded to want to call. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, how many people... What are you going to do now? I think I'll sit here and call talk radio. James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you feeling?
I don't know. I'm doing blood work tomorrow, so ask me after that.
okay. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I
okay.
know. I know.
I'm losing fast.
Yep. All right, so.
Okay, I was going to say, is Huey, okay, there was, I think, Lamont at Large, this YouTuber had the story about his assassination. He actually went to the place where it happened.
Yeah. Okay, now here, I want to look at all your stories because I only got about a minute left, but we have a half hour tomorrow night if you want to call then, because probably no one else will. But anyway, you of course gave me the dryer story, which was good. But now, agents find more than a dozen T-shirts caked with methamphetamine. Apparently, it somehow got liquidated, so to speak, liquefied, and got attached to the shirts. And so they're arresting this woman with drug transit. Well, how do you get the methamphetamine out of the shirts?
I don't even know how. I would think you just have to burn it and consider it just simply lost.
I can't, but that's what they're arresting her for. And so I'm looking at this saying, well what are you going to do? Because they all said that in their descriptions, the agent said the methamphetamine was now fused with the shirts. Well, the visuals on that are endless, but I can't imagine how that works. So I'll look for that, and we'll look for more stories.
The only thing I could think of is that basically just simply write on, I'm high on life.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow night. Thank you. All right. So on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Now, here's the deal tomorrow night. We are on late. We have about a half hour show from 12:30 to 1, but we'll be taking votes and taking names and all that. So if you want to call, that's great. Otherwise, Monday Night Trivia, of course, on Monday, full show. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.